It's funny, I was talking to his daughter Tammy earlier in the year, and I said, you know what, I think I'm going to win the Derby for your dad. But I was thinking 1,000 words. There's no better feeling than to win the Kentucky Derby. Unfortunately, I wish he could have been there, seen it live. I don't know how he would have handled the winner's circle scrub there. Might have killed them, but that was something else. And then Jimmy getting hurt in the paddock, breaking his arm, and the horse scratching. I mean, the emotions were just like, I felt like it was in a dryer, just getting tumbled around. And then for the horse to pull it out and win it after everything, after the whole year, and he wins the Derby. I mean, it just, it's an amazing story, and I'm just really fortunate that it happened.
That's Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert talking about winning the Kentucky Derby on September 5th for B. Wayne Hughes and Spendthrift Farm, and the special day that was for him. And then he talked about some of the chaos that ensued, not only after the race, where Bob was, well, knocked on his backside by Authentic in the winner's circle. And, of course, he talked about 1,000 words and his assistant, Jimmy Barnes, and 1,000 words flipping in the paddock right before the race. Not the way you drew it up for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert, and nobody knows more about that situation than the man who was talking about it on NBC television, and that's Randy Moss, who works alongside Mike Tirico, Jerry Bailey, and the great team at NBC to bring you that coverage. And he was there, he has seen it. And Randy, I guess it just ties into 2020 and the strange year that we've seen with the Triple Crown.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a cliche, Mike, but, I mean, we've all been on a roller coaster ride, obviously, in 2020, but Baffert has been on, like, one of those screaming, really scary roller coaster rides with the huge drops and then the elevations, and it was really a remarkable story, wasn't it, to see Authentic win after all the Baffert stable's been through this year.
Yeah, Charlatan, the Doll, top horses that were being pointed for the Kentucky Derby early in the year, both off the trail, obviously. He ends up with Authentic and 1,000 words, and then the situation with 1,000 words before the race, and then getting it done with Authentic. And then afterwards, what Authentic did in the winner's circle, I've never seen Bob get knocked around like that before, but I'm sure he's never been knocked around like that, at least not on national television, but that was something interesting to watch.
Yeah, he said he was embarrassed more than anything else. Luckily, the turf course was a little soft, you know. And then in between the Nadal and Charlatan, you know, and then Authentic and 1,000 words in the Derby, you had Uncle Chuck and Cezanne, who a lot of people thought were better than Authentic and better than 1,000 words. And then they didn't pan out in their final preps for the Derby. So it's back to plan A in the Kentucky Derby, and obviously it turned out to be good enough. I thought for my money, Mike, all of the Triple Crown race wins that Baffert has had, it's either 15 or 16. I got to go back and count again, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
I thought his job training Authentic to the Kentucky Derby was the best job that Baffert's best training job that he's ever had in a Triple Crown race.
Yeah, tough to argue with that. And I think tough to argue with what Bob said after the race on NBC, where he said that he's had some tremendous rides on his horses in the Kentucky Derby, but the ride that John Velasquez gave Authentic was really, really special.
It was a veteran heady kind of ride. Velasquez said after the Derby that with Authentic breaking from the outside post and the way he had started in the Santa Anita Derby from an outside post, he and Baffert were both kind of anticipating that Authentic wouldn't break all that sharply from the gate. He didn't break badly, but he broke maybe a length and a half, certainly behind Tis the Law and some of the other horses to his inside. But having prepared for that and having some concern in his mind about Authentic getting the mile and a quarter, I mean, the strategy for Velasquez going in was just, if he could get away with it, just to carefully, you know, meet out his speed during the first quarter of a mile and kind of baby him to that first turn, and maybe play possum a little bit with the other jockeys to his inside. And then at the last possible minute, kind of spurt away from the others and drop in, hopefully, on a clear lead. And that's exactly what he was able to do. And I think another important component to the Authentic win, and it was kind of a perfect storm. I mean, a lot of things developed in favor of Authentic. But because of the scratches during Derby week of Art Collector and King Guillermo, you had the withdrawal of a couple of the horses that could conceivably have applied pace pressure to Authentic in the middle part of the race, going down the backstretch. They both had enough speed and enough quality to be able to do that. And with those two horses out, and with New York traffic certainly not the same horse that he was in the Haskell, and with Manny Franco strategizing probably that Authentic couldn't get the mile and a quarter, and he's going to wait until, you know, much later in the race to make his move, Authentic basically had a base on balls during the middle part of the race that he might not get today.
Visiting with NBC racing analyst Randy Moss here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Randy, I started the show this morning by talking about the fact that the way that the three Triple Crown races were run this year, not the most ideal way that we'd like to see it all come together, but I also credited each of the racetracks for finding some way to work them in. As Steve Asmussen pointed out in an interview earlier this week, he said, you know, these three-year-olds are only three once, and making sure that they had the opportunity to compete in the Triple Crown races is significant on a lot of levels, and I think we'd all agree with that. When you are asked about this year's Triple Crown season, how do you sum it up? How do you describe that to people?
Exactly the same way you just did, basically, Mike, that it's not perfect. It's certainly not how anybody would have wanted 2020 to develop in terms of, you know, the jumbled up Triple Crown races and everything, but that the bottom line is that we still had a Triple Crown and gave these horses a chance to compete in, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity, and the owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys involved as well. And we'll see what happens today, but I mean, so far it's been a good Triple Crown. I mean, Tis the Law ran an outstanding race in the Belmont Stakes. It would have been nicer if the Belmont Stakes had had a little more quality. If the Santa Anita Derby, for example, you know, didn't come a week before the Belmont Stakes to give some of those horses a chance to compete in all three legs, or at least in the first two legs of the Triple Crown, that would have been nice. But Tis the Law ran a heck of a race in the Belmont Stakes. And obviously the Kentucky Derby was an outstanding race. And even though we don't have Tis the Law today in the Preakness is shaped up as a really good way to close out the Triple Crown. And that was the race, honestly, Mike, when we first got this rescheduled Triple Crown. The Preakness was the race that I was most worried about in terms of quality, because it comes up just 5 weeks before the Breeders' Cup Classic. You know, you see what Barkley Tagg has chosen to do with Tis the Law, to skip the Preakness and wait for the Classic. I was afraid that that would be the case for a lot of the horses and that the Preakness would suffer as a result. But fortunately, the Preakness is a really, really good race.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit more about the Preakness then, Randy. And you mentioned Authentic and maybe not getting that same trip that he got in the Kentucky Derby 4 weeks ago. He'll be the likely favorite, although I noticed yesterday in some of the early wagering that Art Collector was getting more money than Authentic. So Art Collector was actually the favorite last night. That's with limited money in the pool, and I'm sure it'll change as we make our way closer to post time today. But how do you see the race unfolding? How do you see it shaping up later today?
I think it's going to be pretty close in odds between Authentic and Art Collector. I think the big difference we're likely to see in the Preakness today, as opposed to the Kentucky Derby, is that in the Derby, I think a lot of the riders in the race, and trainers as well, in their pre-race strategizing, were skeptical, as a lot of us were, about Authentic getting the mile and a quarter. And so they basically left him alone. Now he's got the target on his back. Now he's proven that in the right scenario, with the right setup, that he can not only get a mile and a quarter, but he can finish the race out with some determination, like he showed when he turned away Tis the Law in the last quarter of a mile. So I think it's less likely today that he's going to get away with the same kind of scenario that he had at Churchill Downs. You've got Art Collector, who's got, I don't think he's got the quick early speed. He does have speed, but I don't think he has the same level of speed as Authentic. but he's got enough speed and enough quality to turn up the heat on Authentic in the middle part of the race. And I think you could possibly say the same thing for Swiss Skydiver. And the tactics might be a little different with New York Traffic this time. Sappy Joseph, the trainer of New York Traffic, had told me before, actually the morning of the Kentucky Derby, I said, so what about Authentic? You know, what's the strategy going to be with New York Traffic vis-a-vis Authentic? And Safi told me, we're not going to give Authentic the early lead. If he wants the early lead, he's going to have to earn it. We're going to make him run for it to get the early lead. Well, that's not what happened. I mean, Paco Lopez did not ride New York Traffic that way. He didn't really hustle New York Traffic the first part of the race in the run to the first turn, as I think Safi Joseph had expected him to. So now you have a new rider. You have Horacio Karamanos on New York Traffic. And Safi has once again told us that his instructions to Karamanos are going to be take the early lead if you can get it.
Yeah.
I'm a little skeptical as to whether New York Traffic actually has enough early speed to beat Authentic to the lead. When you look at a lot of New York Traffic's races, or you look at all of them, I mean, quite a few of the races where he was really forwardly placed, the Haskell being the exception, were slow-paced races. The races at the fairgrounds, the prep races at the fairgrounds this spring, were the Risen Star of the Louisiana Derby, were both slow-paced races. The Matt Wynn was a slow-paced race, and they actually hustled New York Traffic in that race, and he couldn't get the lead. But he still could turn up the heat a little bit more on Authentic, along with Art Collector and Swiss Skydiver. So, I don't think Authentic is going to get the same kind of pace set up.
Well, it should be interesting. Post time for the Preakness, 5:36 Eastern time, $1 million purse, mile and 3/16 on that main track at Old Hilltop. We'll have the radio coverage 4 to 6 Eastern. Randy and the NBC TV team kick it off at 4:30 Eastern time. So a lot of coverage coming up coast to coast and worldwide this afternoon. Randy, I'm going to put you on the spot before I let you go. Who ends up winning the Preakness?
I like Art Collector. I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see Authentic win. I think he's going to get the early lead. I think he's probably going to get a clear early lead, in my opinion. Length and a half. But I think he'll have to work harder to get it, and I think he'll face more pressure in the middle part of the race. I think Art Collector on paper is just about as good of a horse as Authentic in all your speed figure metrics and the analytics and things like that. I think that's why right now he's almost on even terms with Authentic in the early wagering. And I think, you know, he's proven that he can take a lot of heat during the middle part of a race. He can run fast and he can finish well. So I'll give Art Collector a slight edge. I wouldn't be surprised if the pace is quick enough to see Mr. Big News run another good race. I mean, he looked like he could possibly win it at the quarter pole of the Kentucky Derby when he rolled up there on the outside. And it's not like he had this huge advantageous setup. It wasn't a extremely fast pace in the Derby that set up his closing kick. He didn't get through on the rail. He was actually wide on both turns. Nothing fluky at all about Mr. Big News' performance. So I could see him, being part of the trifecta or even the exacta again today.
Now, what a moment it would be, too, if Art Collector were to win it for trainer Tom Drury Jr., owner Bruce Lunsford, jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. would certainly be special. Randy, listen, I'm up against the final break, but really appreciate the visit here this morning. Thank you for taking the time. And again, we'll encourage people, if they can't be on radio, tune into the TV coverage, and that's 4:30 Eastern time this afternoon. And greatly appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. I enjoyed it. Take care.